waves of rain are rolling in. The hours for the heaviest rainfall and the chances for frost this weekend.
A Nash County Social Services employee no longer on the job. See the extensive list of violations in a new report claiming the county failed to protect an 8-year-old girl before her murder. A man severely burned and his home destroyed in an explosion. Hear from a neighbor who felt the blast shake her home.
As we take a live look at the radar right now, you can see those showers starting to get closer to our area. It could turn much heavier later tonight. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. We have a live pick of Durham. The skies are cloudy and dark. It's actually raining a bit there. You can't tell from this shot, but the rain has started to fall. It's going to become more widespread as the evening goes into the overnight hours. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRL Severe Weather Center with the timeline for the worst of this rain.
That's going to come late tonight while many folks are sleeping. I think after 10 o'clock is when the rain would be most widespread and the heaviest. But we have the steady rain moving in right now. You can see some of the showers making their way into the Sand Hills. And we also have some showers moving into the Triangle. Durham seeing light rain. Chapel Hill seeing some steady rain. And we're just starting to see the leading edge of these showers make their way into Wake County. We'll continue to see these showers spread east. So now's the time. If you live in Wake County, you're headed out and about tonight, grab the umbrella. You already need it in Durham and Chapel Hill. Futurecast has been doing a great job today with the timing of this rain. It shows the rain through Wake County, really across much of Wake County by 8 o'clock, starting to push into Johnston County, Nash County, Harnett County should be seeing some widespread rain by 8 o'clock. And we'll continue to see these showers moving to the northeast. Look at the band of heavier rain that arrives likely after about 11 o'clock tonight. 3 a.m., the showers remain pretty widespread into tomorrow morning. By 6 a.m., they lighten up. Still some showers left in the Triangle, but the rain should be east of the Triangle by 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'll have a closer look at the temperature drop coming behind this system coming up.
Things cooling off. Thanks, Kat. Take a look at the radar. You can take it with you. Weather alerts, too, anywhere you go with the WRAL Weather app. It is available in the App Store or Google Play.
WREL has learned a Nash County social services worker has been terminated in connection with the abuse case of 8-year-old Crystal Lane, who was beaten to death. Her grandmother is accused of the February murder. Weeks after that, county worker had opened an investigation into the child abuse at the home. WREL's Keenan Willard is live in Nash County, where the state has released a new report on the investigation. Keenan.
And Deborah, it doesn't just accuse Nash DSS of mishandling this case. It says in a survey of nearly 24 other cases, Nash DSS made the wrong decision about what to do for child abuse victims nearly 70% of the time. With regard to the Crystal Lane case, here's some of the background. On February 7th, Sheriff's Office called out to that home in Nashville. They found that Lane had been beaten to death. And officials say that her grandmother, Patricia Ricks, who had custody, was the one behind this attack. Now, Nash DSS opened an investigation into Ricks weeks earlier after Lane had showed previous signs of abuse, but they didn't remove her from the home at that time. A new DHHS report says Nash County failed to properly supervise that investigation and didn't act on concerns from a medical examiner about Lane's injuries. The state says Nash now has to take action to rectify this. Nash DSS has 30 days to draw up something called a corrective action plan for the department. Part of that's going to be that all social workers will have to receive back-to-basics training on safety and risk, and supervisors will also have to change the way they oversee abuse cases and go through their own training. Now, the state did find that Nash DSS has already taken some corrective steps. DHHS says the county's put in place a new conference tool for supervisors to ensure investigations are being conducted properly, and the director or deputy director will now be reviewing all case decisions from here on out. So some sweeping changes already being made, but more necessitated after that state report on Nash DSS. Nash has not commented on this report or any claims or the source information that we received that somebody who worked on the Crystal Lane case has been terminated inside the department. They have until late April to put that CAP on paper. They'll have time after that, though, to actually implement it. Deborah.
Keenan Willard, live for us. Thank you, Keenan.
We have learned now that one person has died after a boat with several people on board capsized on Jordan Lake. Sky 5 video here from the scene in Chatham County near the Farrington Point boat ramp. This was this afternoon. Four men were taken to UNC Hospital, where one later died. The water was choppy today, wind gusts reaching 25 to 35 miles per hour. at one point. Now, this accident happened in the same part of the lake, you might remember, where a 15-year-old boy went missing while on a jet ski earlier this month and was later found dead.
A Sampson County man who was burned when his mobile home exploded has undergone surgery and is in critical condition. This was the scene from WRL Sky 5 shortly after firefighters put out the flames of the home on Tucker Lane just outside Salemburg this morning. We're told the windswept fire moved quickly to engulf the home in flames. Investigators say a man was inside cooking when the explosion occurred.
He was out of the structure at the time when my officer arrived and the first trucks arrived, and they found him out in the woods probably 30 or 40 meters behind the house.
Investigators say they followed a blood trail to that wood line to locate the man. They're still working to learn what caused the explosion.
A 17-year-old who was hit by a car while getting off of the school bus is out of surgery and showing signs of progress. Tillman Mitchell was on his way home from Halawa Saponi Tribal School Wednesday when he was hit by a Tesla. The crash left him in critical condition. Internal bleeding, a broken neck, a very bad situation, as you can probably assume from the video you see. Today, family told WRL Mitchell is progressing, no longer on a ventilator, which is good. Troopers say this was a case of distracted driving, and they're looking into whether the Tesla was in autopilot mode at the time. The driver faces charges.
A Cary man has been sentenced for assaulting law enforcement officers with chemical spray during the January 6th Capitol riot. 20-year-old Aiden Billiard also used a bat to shatter a window at the Capitol. He will spend a little more than a year in prison for his actions. A judge also ordered 36 months of supervised release and $3,500 in restitution. He pleaded guilty in October to one count of assaulting, resisting, or impeding officers with a deadly weapon. Billiard's seven other charges were dropped. Stiffer penalties for rioting are now law. Rioting is now a felony if it causes more than $1,500 in property damage or if someone is injured. Governor Cooper vetoed this bill last year, but with more Republicans in the House and several Democrats voting for this measure, he no longer has a veto-proof majority. Cooper did not sign the bill, but once a bill passes both chambers, after 10 days, it becomes law, even if the governor doesn't sign it. Today, Chatham County manager told WRAL VinFast plans for North Carolina are not impacted by a leadership shakeup. The electric car maker says two sales executives left because of a change in the management model and a third left for personal reasons. This comes on the heels of VinFast's setback, pushing back its plan to have vehicles roll out of its new Chatham County plant to 2025 instead of next year. Governor Cooper tells WRAL he believes the project will keep moving ahead. You're going to see extra law enforcement around town and on the roads this weekend around Raleigh. They're stepping up patrols as St. Patrick's Day events get underway, including on Glenwood Sound. That area was especially rowdy last year. Boy, a tough loss for one of our Triangle teams vying for the NCAA championship. WRL's Casey Hintz joins us live from Denver with NC State highlights in just a moment. Plus, let's take a live look outside right now. We're watching for even more heavy showers to move into the area. As you can see, that's happening right now in Moore County. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is timing this all out for you this evening, coming up.
We are back in the Live Center. Fayetteville police tonight are asking for the public's help in finding a person of interest believed to be involved in a homicide that happened more than 2 years ago. This is the picture that was sent to us by the Fayetteville Police Department. They're looking for that man, the passenger in this car. And here is a closer look in that black Chevy Impala. Again, they're looking for the passenger. This is in connection with the death of Mario Boone, a 40-year-old man who was found in a wooded area off of Vogel Drive back in March of 2021. This is a look at the scene from our crew there a couple of years ago. Fayetteville police say they are working with few leads. Again, they are looking for the passenger in this car. Anyone with information is being asked to give Fayetteville police a call.
Police not giving up on that case. A stroller recall, five on your side. First warned you about in November, is now expanding. Mockingbird is recalling more than 25,000 single strollers because the frame can crack, creating a risk of falling for children. This is in addition to the nearly 150,000 single to double strollers recalled 5 months ago for the same reason. Stop using this stroller and contact Mockingbird to get a free frame reinforcement kit. Well, we want to help you get the most from your tax refund. That's why Five on Your Side has tax pros on call on Tuesday. Experts will be answering your tax questions from 4 until 7 p.m. Again, this is Tuesday, March 21st. Here's the number to call, 919-234-5007. Again, that phone will not be picked up until Tuesday. The tax code is complicated. That's why we want to help you avoid some costly mistakes. Tax pros on call Tuesday.
All right. Hey there, I'm Dan Haggerty, and this is the time where we go in depth, as we do sometimes here at 7 o'clock. We spend a little bit more time discussing important issues that don't always have clear answers. Last night, I got a lot of great responses from all of you at home following a segment on the ongoing book bans at our middle schools and high schools. And as always, I want to hear your thoughts on all of the topics we discuss. That's how we drive these conversations forward. So please email me at dan@wrl.com. You can also find me on social media. Just search for Dan Haggerty. I'm the one who isn't Grizzly Adams. So last night we talked about some records requests that we made here at WRAL to school districts all across our area to learn how many books have been removed from our schools over the last 2 years. And it's a lot. For instance, just in Cumberland County, they've removed more than 100 books since October. And most of those books involve dealings in topics like race, gender, and sexuality, which are the hot button topics of the day. Dee wrote me and said, "Do you want a book to tell your child what gender they should be?" Now, I hear this argument a lot. Maybe you do too. This fear that students will be confused about their gender if they read a book that has a transgender character or storyline. And when I hear this argument, I always just ask the person, would that apply to them? If you read a book with a transgender protagonist when you were 13, is that what it would have taken to turn your life upside down? Would you be unsure of your gender today or convinced you were an opposite gender because of that book that you read when you were 13? Or do you think you are who you are, and no matter what you read when you were 13, you wouldn't be convinced that you are a different gender because of the book? I'm trying to understand the argument when we follow up on these emails in more in-depth next week, like this one I got from Chris. He said, "This one's easy, Dan. Take the book that mom's groups said was pornography and just show the parts on your news segment that were controversial. If you can't show it, it doesn't belong in a children's library." What are your thoughts on that, comment from Chris? I have a bunch, but I do want to organize my thoughts before going a bit deeper into it. That said, are you sure you want the local news to be the barometer of what we allow in middle schools? Have you seen the news? But it is an interesting point, Chris. Thanks for the email. And lastly, here's an email we got from Robin, who is a retired school librarian who explained the selection process for books, saying school librarians in North Carolina are trained in collection development and have selection policies for what is included in their collections. School librarians read reviews, they attend conferences where we meet and talk with authors and publishers. Now, to this, I spoke to a law professor about the differences between librarians choosing not to display a book and a school board removing a book once it's already on the shelves. It's something that the Supreme Court has considered and discussed. Hopefully, you will join in on this discussion as well. This segment is only as strong as your curiosity and your willingness to discuss these difficult topics. So please, keep coming. Keep emailing me. Send those emails to dan@wral.com. Tell me what's on your mind, and we'll go in depth.
NC State fans everywhere are bummed about tonight's tough loss against Creighton in the first round of the NCAA tournament. The Wolfpack just couldn't stay with the Blue Jays in the last few minutes of the game. WRAL's Casey Hintz is live in Denver. Casey, you just spoke with the team. So disappointing.
Yeah, Deborah, and actually you just said the word disappointing. That's, of course, exactly what this NC State locker room was, so emotional in there. And, you know, they kept coming back within the lead there, cutting into Creighton's lead, but the fouls started piling up, and like you mentioned, they just couldn't stick with Creighton. Let's get you right out to some of the highlights here at Ball Arena. You know, it was just a small but rowdy group of Wolfpack fans here, and Creighton, though, they got out to an early lead. Pack just had no answer for Ryan Kalkbrenner. 11 first-half points. Blue Jays leading by as many as six, but Terquavion Smith, we know he is built for this stage. Four straight field goals for the Pack, and that had them within two at the half. You know, the guy said in the locker room, we thought we had them where we wanted them then. After the break, Casey Morcell gives State its first lead of the game on this big-time three, but fouls start piling up in this game, giving Creighton the lead back, but Smith, he's going to throw down an absolute hammer over Kalkbrenner. It felt like the tide might turn there. But just too many fouls, too much Kalkbrenner. He had 31 points, 72-63 the final. An emotional locker room afterwards.
We fought to the end. We ain't take the opportunity for granted. We wanted it. We just came up short.
And it's been the best move I ever made in my life. Man, I give thanks to the man above, thanks to the coaching staff who believed in me, thanks to my teammates believing me. And, man, Coach Keys. He's a great coach.
I just say I love this group of guys. I love the staff, everybody who supported me.
As you can see, a very emotional Terquavion Smith. He was asked afterwards what he plans to do. He had no answer for that, of course, if he will either come back for a third year or go on to the NBA. But Kevin Keats did mention this after this game, that just how special the backcourt duo of Jarkel Joyner and Terquavion Smith, it completely changed this program this year. And that's exactly what got them to this point in the NCAA tournament. Deborah.
You know, they really left it all out on the floor. Casey, at one point people were watching. They may have seen a couple of the players kind of get into it a little bit, but it seemed like that's just because they were just so emotional about that game.
Deborah, something about that, too, is actually Joyner and Terquavion Smith talked about that. They treat each other like brothers. And actually yesterday, Joyner told me, you know, sometimes T gets, you know, a little, he needs to be level-headed out there. And so they have no problem putting each other in their place. But, you know, after that, Terquavion went out, hit that three. And that's what kind of when you felt that momentum shift there just a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, they came so close. Casey Hintz, live in Denver. Thanks, Casey. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Boy, it's really coming down in Pinehurst.
It is. Some folks are still out there golfing. They are brave, especially in the wind that we had today. Even when it wasn't raining, I'm surprised anybody was able to golf in the wind out there. The rain is going to continue there in Pinehurst, and we've got the showers now pushing into Wake County, crossing the Wake County line. Pretty steady, persistent showers around Durham, Chapel Hill, up into Hillsborough, Granville County, over into Warrenton as well. These showers just keep moving to the east. It is fairly light rain at this point. It's all blues and greens on the radar. On theme with St. Patrick's Day, rain moving into Sanford and actually moving out at this point. We do have some showers in Lillington as well. These are going to be moving into Johnston County and southern Wake County. Hour by hour tonight, rain chances continue to climb, and the rain will get heavier late tonight, especially while you're sleeping. The good news is, if you like to hear the sound of rain while you're sleeping, we've got that for you tonight. By tomorrow morning, rain chances quickly drop off, and the vast majority of your weekend will be dry. It's just tomorrow morning that we have some of these showers continuing to push through the area. But behind the cold front, we've got the cold air back for the weekend. 65 right now in Raleigh. Temperatures are going to be falling into the 30s again by the time we get to Sunday morning, perhaps upper 20s in Roxborough. This brings the threat of a frost and a freeze. And because of this, the National Weather Service has issued a freeze watch in our western and northern counties tomorrow night into Sunday morning. You'll need to protect your pets and your plants again tomorrow night. And we'll have three freezes and frost potentials in a row. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday morning. So just a heads up, the chilly air is coming back. It will not last, though. 58 tomorrow, 50 on Sunday. Once you get past the 50-degree high on Sunday, feeling more like January, temperatures go up from there. Spring-like temperatures don't get here, though, until a little bit after spring starts on Monday. 60s ahead Tuesday and Wednesday, 70s Thursday and Friday. Temperatures climbing near 80 by the end of next week. We got a little bit of everything showing up here, going from winter to almost summer.
Yeah, it's going to be hot before we know it. Thanks, Kat.
Still ahead, an impressive feat for a Durham teenager. The national competition that landed them an impressive prize and the project that got them the honor. Oh boy, a Durham student just walked away with a big prize after placing in a national competition.
This is awesome. Lyndon James, a senior at North Carolina School of Science and Math, won fifth place at the Regeneron Science Talent Search. That honor came with a $90,000 prize.
There you go.
Yeah, for winning the project, Lyndon investigated the potential of a thyroid hormone, T3, to treat traumatic brain injury in humans.
Jeez.
Wow, they used wax moth caterpillars as a model and found the hormone shows promise as a potential future therapy. This is just amazing. Congratulations on this big honor.
Well done.
Yeah. Tomorrow, Raleigh's newest beer garden has a family-friendly celebration.
The beer gardens are going to be popular this weekend, something tells me. Mm-hmm. It all starts at noon at the Tap Yard Raleigh. There will be food trucks and local vendors. There will be face painting, so, you know, bring the family. Or adults can also get their faces painted. No judgment.
Good.
Also, well-behaved dogs are welcome. Everybody's dog is well-behaved, right?
Of course.
What is tiny, cute, and green all over?
How about these adorable babies in the NICU at UNC Health Rex Women's Center? They're all decked out celebrating St. Patrick's Day. These outfits were all handmade by Rex NICU nurse Lori Edwards. They're amazing. When we received these pictures from UNC Health, they sent along a little Irish proverb we want to share with you, too. May the leprechauns dance over their beds and bring them sweet dreams.
What a
little lucky dude.
What a nice way to say goodnight tonight.
Yeah.
And the people in the
so
NICU.
Cute.
Are just some of the most special people the world.
Oh, yeah.
They do amazing work.
They
so
do.
Thank you to all of them, and thanks for sharing those pictures. We appreciate you being with us tonight and choosing WRAL News.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 on WRAL. We hope to see you then. Have a great night. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.